Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to Storytelling Time. This program is brought to you by Every Dot Black Entrepreneur Network. Our foundation scripture comes from Psalm, the 91st chapter and the 14th verse. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Before we start with our story today, listen to the following comments on how to become a professional writer. It comes from Ms. Linda Monroe, minister and entrepreneur. After this segment, we will start with our story for the week.
What are some of the strategies for anyone who would like to become an author or write a book that they can utilize?
Okay, one thing you need to understand is that what God placed in you is not for you. It's to help other people struggling through the same situation. And it's real simple. It's just a matter of taking a pen, writing down your experience. How can this help solve the problem? How can it help solve the problem that somebody else is going through? Because these are the ways I survived the problem. And that's basically the strategy that you need. What has happened in my life that can benefit somebody else's life going through the same situation?
But you know,
because God didn't put it in me to hold it in me. He put it in here in me because we're supposed to be a blessing to others. I do have a written book. You can order it on my website, LindaMonroe.com. But my business coach is like, you know, you need to have multiple streams of income coming in. And so we did the audio book. After I wrote the book and listened, Dr. Porter, this was strange. I was working until 1 o'clock at night. And Mr. Rounder is a go-getter. I mean, he's young, he's successful. He don't accept no excuses. So I'm like, look, Benny, I got a job. He was like, I don't want to hear it. So I would stay up. You were asking for the tips to become an author. The first tip is you have to be focused. The second tip is you have to be dedicated. The third tip is you should have no excuse to get it done. So I would stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to write this book. So the book was written, published, edited, and on the market in 6 months.
We'll be right back with our story after a break. Welcome, everybody. The story today comes from Chapter 7 on the Beach and from the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of our story today is Discussions. Part 1 of the story is next. Sandra had arrived in Bermuda and gotten acquainted with her new friend Aaron, the manager of the resort. She continued to recover from the effects of Matthew's death, and now she was focused on her own health. Sandra had gone to get some sandwiches Aaron had made, and now they both were sitting on the patio, listening to the rhythm of the rolling ocean waves. It was such a tranquil place, Aaron had told Sandra, as she had sat there numerous times before. They started their discussion when Aaron asked her,
"So, based on the material you sent here, Sandra, you have an interesting history. Do you still live in Detroit?"
"Yes, Aaron. I spent my early life in Detroit. My mother moved from New Orleans to that city early in her life, from what I understand. She had a cousin already there, and I guess she felt that it was a good place to restart her life. Yeah, Aaron, my early life is kind of sketchy. Anyway, my mom died about a year after I was born. I was taken into a foster home, and years after that, I was adopted by a nice young couple, and I believe they were from Flint. Anyway, I was probably no more than 11 or 12 when they took me in. They nurtured and cared for me and gave me everything I wanted. But they were religious folk, and I couldn't deal with what I thought was the phoniness about them. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think I do.
Anyway, what I'm saying, Aaron, is that I felt they had kind of an uppity attitude about everything. And because of that, I ran away and haven't seen them since.
You were so young, Sandra, and you ran away?
Yeah, Aaron, by the time I did that, I was probably 15 years old, something like that. But yeah, I was pretty bold back then, even at that young age. Anyway, later as a teenager, I decided to be on my own. So I ran away and ended up in New York City and lived there much of my young adult life. Yeah, I was totally on my own then and have been that way ever since. Aaron, I was a rebel, and I got into all kinds of deviant behavior, like drugs and prostitution and other criminal activity. But I guess I got tired of all that, and I eventually moved back to Detroit. A lot of things in my early life are unclear, Aaron, and I've regretted some of the things that I did back then. I was not very mature in making decisions, being at such a young age. Now, I've been honest with you, Aaron, because it's just me and you here at the resort, and I know you're not going to put my business out there. But anyway, that's some of my life story.
So, how did you get to New York City from Detroit?
Oh, I took the bus.
That's some story. But how did you get the money to do that? I mean, to catch the bus?
Well, my foster parents gave me money anytime I asked them, and I was smart enough to save what I had. But I guess I wasn't smart enough to stay with them.
And how about your father? But listen, before you answer that question, I guess you now regret some of the bad decisions you made. Am I right about that, Sandra?
Yeah, I guess I was pretty stupid back then in my actions, like I told you a minute ago. But looking back, it was a pretty good situation I was in, Aaron. Anyway, you mentioned my father. Well, I never knew him. I tried to reconnect with him after being in Detroit when I was small. But at such a young age, I didn't know what I was doing. I did make some calls back to New Orleans and talk with my cousin there, and she told me that my dad had ran off with another woman. I never connected with any other family member after that. I was just too young to follow through, I guess.
Well, that's really unfortunate. Your father not being there with you.
Yeah, Aaron. My natural father was gone when I was real small. But I did have my adopted parents back in Detroit. And I know they probably wanted what was best for me, but at the time I didn't even want what was best for myself. But I didn't have enough sense to stay with them. But I managed my life since then.
That's good, Sandra, that you've been able to manage your life. But you know, God wants us as his children not just to manage, as you put it, our lives to survive, just to survive. He wants us to rely on him so we can flourish despite our circumstances. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's probably easy for you to say, Aaron. You have a successful business here at the resort. I know because I researched it on the internet. I know you said that no one's here this weekend except us, but that's only because you said a storm was coming. This is a huge place you have here, Aaron, and I also saw that it's filled up with patrons most of the time. You're doing very well.
Yeah, that's true, Sandra. I've done well here, I must admit. But that's only because God has helped me to do well. I mean, God has blessed me so much. Everything I got, Sandra, it's not just because of my doing. God has guided me all along the way. So what you see here, I mean, this nice resort that you see that includes all the nice amenities and modern facilities, all this that you see, plus the beach, as well as all the people who come here. It's all because of God, child. And I want you to always remember that. But you know what? It hasn't always been this way. Let me give you my background. First of all, my early life wasn't much different from yours, believe it or not. Let me put it to you this way, Sandra. Most of my family was from North Carolina, but my parents were seeking a better life, so they packed up and moved north to New York City. But you know, Sandra, a short time after that, my parents were killed in a car accident.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. Yes, Sandra, I guess I was about 5 years old at the time. Anyway, I was in the car with them, but somehow I survived. I ended up in an orphan's home, but ran away from there and went into the streets of the city. Yeah, I ran from that safe environment and hit the streets, like you did, Sandra.
My goodness, Aaron, you did have an early life similar to mine.
But that's not all, Sandra. I got involved with drugs, prostitution, and other criminal activity. You name it, and I did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a real bad situation, Sandra. I mean, yeah, I was in one bad place. Welcome back to the Storytelling Time program. We continue now with part two of the story discussions.
Like I was telling you, Sandra, I was in a bad place back then. But let me tell you, my life got turned around for good when a street preacher invited me to attend a religious meeting of a visiting evangelist who was in town one Friday night. And from that time on, I've never been the same. Yeah, I remember it as though it was yesterday. Where I was in my life then, Sandra, I didn't think God was there in all that crime and dysfunction. But that preacher said God was there too, and he seeks whoever he wants to help them out of that kind of environment. And believe me, Sandra, I needed help, and I wanted out of that bad situation.
Oh my, Aaron, no!
You said it, Sandra. Oh my is a good expression to use in responding to my situation. And you know what else? Over a little time and with some things happening to me, I did get out of that environment and ended up here. I'm not going to give you all the details, Sandra, but I will say that God certainly turned my life around, and he'll turn yours around too, if you let him.
That's amazing, Aaron. Amazing that your background is so similar to mine, like I said. Even being in New York City. But you know, I have a godmother back home in Michigan who says some of the same things you're saying about God.
Well, I'd love to meet her at some point. But anyway, Sandra, let me say this. I've done a lot of growing since I've been in the faith. Now, I still have my ups and downs as a believer, but one thing I can tell you, no one can take God's Spirit out of you unless you give it away. And believe you me, there will be a lot of opportunities for you to give it away, but you just have to resist that temptation.
Aaron, I understand what you're saying, but as I was going to say, my godmother, whose name is Minzie, says some of the same things you do. I mean, she is really a godly woman. When I met her, I had come a long way from the time I described to you in my earlier life. Anyway, my problem now, Aaron, is seeing real examples of how God shows himself in a practical way. And I'll tell you, Aaron, I go to this church. Actually, it's the church where I work. And I hear the minister talk all this spiritual talk. But my experience is that many of the people who go there don't seem to practice what they hear being preached to them. But let me quickly say that what I'm talking about doesn't apply to my godmother, Menzi. I mean, she seemed so strong in her faith. Why, even the loss of her husband didn't faze her very much. She's about as real as you can get.
I understand, Sandra. I've experienced some of the same things on occasion. The feeling that some people are not as genuine in their faith as they should be. But the church also has people in it that are genuine, like your godmother. But you know, so much of our feelings come from our minds being messed up because of the negative environment we've been exposed to. Let me give you an example of something that happened to me long before I became a believer. And because of that experience, my attitude towards men was a lot different than it had been before.
Okay, Aaron, what is it?
All right, I'll tell you. But let me start by saying to you, Sandra, that one of the worst decisions I ever made was to drop out of high school. I did complete my GED, but I met my high school sweetheart before I finished, and soon after that, we got married. Now, it was a nice relationship, and we loved each other. But he graduated and went off to trade school while I remained in Brooklyn. And by the way, he went to a trade school over in Queens.
Wow. That was really a rocky start to your marriage, Aaron, being apart from each other like that.
Yes, it was, Sandra. Very rocky. And let me tell you, it was a lonesome time for me being 2 years separated from him. While he was away, I worked at a local restaurant as a waitress and was able to make ends meet. But I was so eager to see him again when he got back. But when my husband got back, he seemed to be a different person from what he was when he left. It was good that he could get any type of job he wanted, working on cars, that is. And that's what he did. He quickly got a job at a mechanic shop. It was a nice job, good salary with benefits, but to make a long story short, I was at work one day when I decided to come home early.
I know I'm getting a little emotional now, Sandra. And I don't know if I can finish this story.
It's all right, Aaron. You don't have to continue. And here, take these tissues.
Thank you. But no, I have to get this off my chest. I'm so sorry to burden you with my problems.
No, you go ahead, Aaron. I'm not burdened by what you're saying at all.
Okay, honey. Well, thanks for your patience. Anyway, as I was saying, I came home that day in at my house and heard something strange going on in our bedroom. I walked in and oh, I'm so sorry, Sandra.
Here. Take some more tissue, Aaron.
Okay. Thank you again, Sandra. But when I entered the bedroom, there he was. I found my husband with someone else in our bed, Sandra. Our own bed, do you hear me? I was shocked. I caught them in the very act, Sandra.
Oh my, Aaron, no!
Sandra gasps, not knowing exactly what to say with that information. She gave Aaron some tissue so that she could clean herself up. After a brief pause, Erin continued with her amazing story.
Well, after seeing that, Sandra, I stormed out of that house with my baby. My husband was taking care of him at the time, or at least that was what he was supposed to have been doing. Anyway, I took my baby. Yes, I did. I took him with a box of diapers and all, and never looked back. And you know what, Sandra? I would do it again. And I didn't come back to that place. It was a very painful experience, Sandra. We officially separated a short time after that. We later contacted one another when he tried to explain what happened. He actually came to an apartment that I had rented later. The nerve of that guy.
Yeah, Erin. The guy did have a lot of nerve coming around after you two had separated.
Yeah, a lot of nerve. But let me finish. We finally got the custody aspect of the situation concluded, and fortunately, I took the rights to our little boy except for a prearranged schedule of limited visits by his father. That happened years ago, Sandra, and Tony, that's my little boy's name, happens to be with his father this weekend. I still don't know how my boy survived all that, but his father has him much of the time now. But Sandra, I never regretted what I did. After that experience, I took to the streets and got into all kinds of stuff that I should not have been involved in, like I said. Anyway, eventually, as I told you earlier, I met this street preacher, and he turned my life around with his message, or at least the message I heard from this street evangelist. I basically heard the gospel for the first time, that God still loved me and was concerned about my situation, despite my dysfunction, or at least the dysfunction that I was in at the time. Do you see, Sandra? We both have a lot in common.
We sure do, Erin. But you know, right now we need to forget all the bad times we both have had and concentrate on this beautiful scenery out here. I mean, I never get a chance to go to the beach. There's nothing like this back in Detroit.
Well, Sandra, I do look forward to spending the weekend with you. And who knows where it might lead. But for now, just listen to those ocean waves.
In closing, so much for today's story. Be sure to be with us the next time as Sandra continues with her time in Bermuda and her time with Erin. She will come to learn even more about Erin and about herself. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say and would like for you to remember that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.